It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank. Focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The battle for Dow Jones and the Wall Street Journal keeps getting more intriguing. Word this morning is that GE and a company called Pearson could make a joint bid for Dow Jones. Pearson owns the Financial Times of London. So if the deal went through, the FT, the Journal, CNBC, and Dow Jones Newswire would all be under one roof. GE is obviously trying to protect its CNBC franchise. That's because Fox News owner Rupert Murdoch is starting up his own financial news channel, and he's already made a bid for Dow Jones. Vietnam's president begins a historic visit to the U.S. today. It's the first time since the war that Vietnam's head of state has come here. Both countries see economic benefits to working together. More now from Jeremy Hobson.
Trade between the U.S. and Vietnam is worth almost $10 billion a year. With Vietnam's entry into the World Trade Organization last January, that figure is sure to rise. But there's also something the U.S. finds particularly attractive about Vietnam, says University of Virginia professor Brantley Womack.
It has a similar type of political and economic structure to China, and yet it is not China.
Vietnam has a cheap, educated labor force. By investing there, American companies hedge their bets against the uncertainties of U.S.-China trade relations. For the Vietnamese, Womack says, the president's visit has great symbolic weight.
This is far more important as a general reassurance than specific accomplishment of this or that business contract.
The visit could also soothe tensions on human rights. Some U.S. politicians have protested the arrest of several high-profile Vietnamese dissidents. I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Wall Street begins the week on a three-day winning streak. The Dow was at 13,639. It put on 1.6% last week. The Nasdaq gained more than 2%. It's at 2626. The S&P 500 is at 1532. The Asian markets had strong gains today, 1% or more. European shares are up a little bit so far. This country's psychiatrists publish a manual to help them diagnose and treat mental illness. Doctors are considering adding video game addiction to the manual. Could that have an impact on the industry? Here's Elisa Roth.
The 10-page report from the American Medical Association Committee compares addictive video games to gambling. It says excessive time spent playing video games can lead to social dysfunction or disruption. Declan McCullough, who writes about video games for CNET, says the best games really are addictive, at least proverbially, with interesting plots and realistic graphics.
So I can't see the video game industry dramatically changing the way they do things as a result.
He says he can imagine a Surgeon General's warning on video games reminding people that playing for 8 hours straight could be harmful to their health. But he says all that game playing often has a happy ending. Social disruption be damned.
Some of the captains of industry in Silicon Valley today were what might now be called video game addicts. Video games were what got them hooked on computers, and it turned out to be a career path for them.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a game to get back to. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By the Medtronic Foundation, in recognition of graduates pursuing careers in health and science and the teachers who inspired them. The Medtronic Foundation, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by the NASD Investor Education Foundation, helping inform today's investor. Online at nasdfoundation.org.
There's a big conference in Europe today on microfinancing. That's when you give people, usually women, in developing countries, very small loans to help them run a business. It might be something as simple as selling crafts on the street. But some of the world's largest banks are attending this conference. They want to get into microfinancing. Michaela Walsh founded Women's World Banking back in 1975. I asked her why the big banks want a piece of this.
It can be a very profitable business. It is more labor intensive than, say, commercial credit. Our role is to make sure that microfinance doesn't become consumer credit.
Right.
You know, in 1975, no woman had a bank account in most countries of the world unless it was co-signed by a male. And so that has radically changed, and the banks recognize how important that sector of the economy can be to their own productive contribution to the local economy.
How is it profitable when the loans are so small?
Well, it has to be profitable or it is not a real partnership. Women's World Banking alone has 23 million borrowers.
Wow.
So instead of saying we're going to give out five or six large loans, we have found a way to make sure an industry can grow where very large numbers of small loans are given out across the world. It creates a lot of need for personal identification in a partnership relationship.
How much are you worried that the big banks coming in will sort of strip that personal aspect away from microfinancing?
I think at one level, very worried. Personally, I have always had a concern that small loans that are given in a local community, whether it's rural or urban, and when paid back, there needs to be some kind of a guarantee that those profits and those benefits are reinvested in that local community and not just computerized and centralized in a capital city or on a global network. Recently, Harvard University and two other universities did a study saying that because the large banking institutions have the capacity to get out more loans, that we ought to put more and more money into the big institutions. My concern about that is we need to make sure those loans are not consumer loans and that they are going to be shared with local women's institutions to assure that women are making the decisions about how to run microfinance in the most effective way to serve the largest number of clients.
Michaela Walsh was founding president of Women's World Banking. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.